Guess what? The new worry becomes an old one. Think inflation. This is the Business News Headlines for Monday, the 8th day of April. Happy Total Eclipse Day, and thanks for being here. In other news, a big winner of Powerball out of Oregon, and what we know about the winner, that made the news today. Should privacy be a consumer right? We'll have a story about that. How desperate is Wisconsin for workers? The bill that was vetoed by Governor Evers tells that story. We've got the Wall Street Report and the story of continued bias when it comes to hiring staff. Let's go.
Insight on Business News and Comment with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International, the premier interpersonal skills, research, and corporate training company. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot, TERO.com. Focus and Find, a high-level, socially responsible search firm helping major corporations in their search for diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Funding also comes from the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, an international organization supporting the new and used agricultural and construction parts industry. Learn more at ntpda.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease. And once again, this is the Monday edition of the Business News Headlines. Not sure if you saw the total eclipse or not where you're at. We did not here in the greater Des Moines metro in Iowa. But some folks along that path from southern Illinois all the way up through Cleveland, I think it is, and north into Canada were treated to perhaps a once-in-a-lifetime experience. The next eclipse total is going to be 2044. In case you're counting. Don't expect much out of the markets as investors are now once again anxious about inflation. Last week, the worry was about the central bank and rate cuts, but that has been replaced. The Consumer Price Index for March is set to be delivered on Wednesday, and then a day later, we'll get the Producer Price Index, and we may get a mixed bag. While the March rate of change in the CPI is forecast to drop to a gain of 0.3% from 0.4% in February, it is likely to mean an annual rate that inches up to 3.4% from 3.2% in February. The core index that leaves out food and energy costs is expected to decline to 3.7% from 3.8%. As for the PPI, those forecasts have it to rise by 2.2% annually from 1.6% a month ago. Economists, by the way, are betting on another month of inflation. So we'll know more on Wednesday. And on that bit of news, Wall Street turned in a sluggish day, with the major indexes failing to travel far from the flat line. Those numbers are coming at you in just a bit. A single individual purchased a Powerball ticket in Oregon and won the eighth largest ever jackpot of $1.3 billion. If the winner, who matched all six numbers, decides to get the lump sum, that amount of money before taxes would be $621 million. The Oregon Lottery withholds at least 24% for federal taxes and 8% for state taxes before paying the winner. USA Mega, that's an independent website tracking jackpot winnings, estimates that the final tax rates will be higher, and this weekend's winner will take home $329.7 million after taxes if they choose the lump sum option. Now, if the winner chooses the 30-year annuity, the annual payments would be about $44.2 million a year before taxes. Those checks would drop to just under $23.5 million after federal and state taxes, according to USA Mega. Over the three decades, all of that money adds up to $705 million. Although the lucky buyer may have purchased the winning ticket while passing through, it was sold in a northeastern Portland zip code that's dotted with modest homes, the city's main airport, and a golf course. Lottery winners frequently choose to remain anonymous if allowed by the state. The Associated Press is reporting that Oregon has no such law, but it does give winners up to a year to come forward. The state has had five previous Powerball jackpot winners over the years, including two families that shared a $340 million prize back in 2005. Laws for lottery winner anonymity vary widely from state to state. In California, the lottery last month revealed the name of one of the winners of the second biggest Powerball jackpot, a $1.8 billion prize that was drawn last fall. Should your personal data be protected? Two key lawmakers from opposing parties thinks they should. The AP is reporting that the sweeping proposal would define privacy as a consumer right and create new rules for companies that collect and use personal information. It comes from the offices of Democratic Senator Maria Cantwell and Republican Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers, both of Washington State. Cantwell chairs the Senate Commerce Committee, while McMorris Rogers leads the House Energy and Commerce Committee. While the proposal has not yet been formally introduced and remains in draft form, the bipartisan support suggests the bill could get serious consideration. Congress has long discussed ways to protect the personal data regularly submitted by Americans to a wide range of businesses and services, but partisan disputes over the details have doomed previous proposals. Maybe, just maybe, this time? Speaking of time, there was a time when legislators cared about the safety of children. That was before it became difficult to find low-wage workers. So now some folks are attempting to fill that worker shortage with kids. Take Wisconsin, for example. The Associated Press is reporting that Democratic Governor Tony Evers vetoed a Republican bill that would have allowed 14 and 15-year-olds in Wisconsin to work without getting consent from their parents or getting a state permit. Evers vetoed the bill that passed the legislature with all Republicans in support and Democrats against it. The proposal came during a wider push by state lawmakers to roll back child labor laws. What Evers said in his veto message was this, quote, "Asking more kids to work is not a serious plan or solution to address our statewide workforce issues," end quote. Republican supporters said the change would have eliminated red tape for employers and teenage job applicants and bolster the state's workforce. But opponents, including organized labor, said that without a work permit system, there's no way for the state to help protect the health and safety of children who wish to work. Now, if businesses were really serious about fixing the labor shortage, they might consider paying a living wage. According to a calculator developed by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, the living wage in a household with two working adults and two children is $25.20 an hour. The living wage varies by location, by the way. Now, two working adults means that they together make $50.40 an hour. Multiply that number by 2,080, that's the average number of hours in a year, the annual combined salary of those two adults is $104,000. According to Talent.com, the current average hourly wage in Wisconsin is $20.67. So, yeah, you might want to pay them a living wage. Wall Street limped to a mixed close today, with the Dow shrinking by 11 points to close at 38,892, while the NASDAQ picked up 5 points to end the session at 16,253, and the S&P 500 shed nearly 2 points to close at 5202. The muted trade is the result of investors playing a wait-and-see game ahead of the inflation report that's due out on Wednesday. West Texas Intermediate crude was off the mark by 34 cents to settle at $86.57 a barrel, and the yield on the 10-year Treasury inched up to 4.422%, also at news time. And finally, there is this, and this is about an upcoming New York Times report about ongoing bias when it comes to hiring staff. It seems that car dealers and retailers demonstrated a higher racial contact gap than other major employers. In the latest experiment, and largest of its kind in the U.S., economists in 2021 submitted phony resumes to almost 100 of the nation's biggest companies. They found that equally qualified applicants who were presumed to be white on the basis of their names were contacted 9.5% more than those who are presumed to be black. The industries exhibiting the least bias included food stores and products, freight and transport, and wholesale. The experiment, called an audit study, revealed that a key determinant in the lack of bias at a company was having a centralized human resource department, more so than employing a chief diversity officer, offering diversity training, or having a diverse board. The study, in which 80,000 fake resumes were submitted for 10,000 entry-level jobs, is part of a three-decade series showing that discrimination against black applicants has not improved much. And that is a sad commentary about business. And that's a wrap for today's business news headlines. Thanks so very much for joining us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby, wishing you a pleasant evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.